Harvard Business Review declared in 2012 that being a data scientist is the sexiest job of the 21st century. Bloomberg Businessweek's headline in May 2018 pronounced, "This is America's hottest job." Let's hear from the director of London Business School's early career programs about its response to surging demand for graduates in data analytics all around the world. Welcome to the 297th episode of Admissions Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result, you get a call one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in," and not only in, but in the best program for you. Before we dive into the interview, I want to mention a resource at Accepted that can help you prepare your statement of purpose for a data analytics master's program as well as other graduate programs. Download 5 Fatal Flaws to Avoid in Your Grad School Statement of Purpose to learn how to avoid the 5 most common mistakes we see in graduate school statements of purpose, as well as how to write an SOP that makes your story memorable and highlights your qualifications for your target programs. We'll link to this valuable resource from the show notes at accepted.com/297. Our guest today is Gareth Howell, Executive Director, MBA, MIF, and Early Career Programs at London Business School. He graduated with a degree in politics in 1995 from the University of Leeds. In 2004, he joined London Business School as Associate Director of the MBA program and has been at LBS in different and expanding roles, culminating in his current position as London Business School's Executive Director of the MBA, MIF, and Early Career Programs, which include the Master's in Management, the Global Master's in Management, the Master's in Analytics and Management, and the Master's of Financial Analysis. Hi, Gareth. Welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Hi, Linda. Thank you very much for having me.
I'm delighted to do so. Now, let's start with the real basics. What is the Master's in Analytics and Management in London Business School? Can you provide an overview of the program?
Sure. The Masters in Analytics and Management, or the MAM program, as it's often going to be shortened to, is our newest and most exciting addition to our early careers portfolio at London Business School. As you mentioned in my rather long job title, we have 4 different early career programs, which put together is going to make up about 500 students as well. But this is our newest program that we've launched last summer, but then we'll enroll its first cohort in August 2019. It's a 12-month full-time program with a strong focus, obviously, on analytics, with a rigorous leading-edge curriculum. But we've made sure that it's highly integrated and practical, with a strong emphasis on experiential learning. But we've also wanted to make sure that it's customizable. We recognize that increasingly candidates are always seeking ways it's not a one-size-fits-all, and that students want to be able to customize their studies their way as well. So we're really excited about this newest addition to the program. We've been running and developing early career programs now for over 10 years at the school, but this is our newest addition to our portfolio.
Wonderful. Can you give us a bit of background about how it came into being and how it fits into the portfolio of early career programs, the whole menu you have there?
Yeah, sure. As I mentioned, we have 4 different early career programs, and that's part of a broader portfolio of 13 different degree programs that we have here at London Business School. But the early careers portfolio is split into kind of 2 halves. We have 2 general management programs, our Masters in Management and our Global Masters in Management. But when we have 2 specialist Masters programs for early career students, so 1 in Finance, our Masters in Financial Analysis, and this one in Analytics and Management. And essentially, we came to this because essentially data analytics is transforming the way the world does business. It is sector neutral, or it's not just a technology thing. It's transforming the finance sector, the consulting sector. All businesses are switching on to the power and value of data and how to be successful in an increasingly data-driven world, or the digital economy as well. And again, you know, a business school is nothing if it doesn't create graduates and programs that speak to the needs of business. And so we talked a lot to our recruiters, and they were saying we increasingly want students or graduates with this level of capability and that. And so therefore we wanted to respond to that by creating a specific program that meets the needs of both candidates and students, but crucially the employers, and this is what they told us. So that's what we set about in developing the curriculum. And you see that now a lot of other schools, a lot of there's been a real explosion in programs of this type around. But for us, like I said, we wanted to leverage our own faculty, leverage our particular strengths, leverage the fact that we're in London. In the UK alone, we're already the largest data center market in Europe, and our own government has projected a 250% increase in big data jobs in the UK alone in the next 5 years. And so we wanted to make sure to be at the, we supply talent not only to the UK but obviously to the global business economy, and we wanted to develop a program that met those needs.
Now, you mentioned that the number of data analytics master's programs in particular has mushroomed, and it definitely has. What is distinctive about London Business School's approach to teaching data analytics? And there are also programs, there are part-time programs, there are programs for more experienced. Yours is clearly early career, full-time, but other than that, what is distinct about your approach?
I think for us, it's a really good question, Linda. We spend a lot of time thinking about this because, again, we can look what everybody else is doing and say, well, look, can we just do it better? But it really was, we believe our distinctiveness is the blend between analytics and management. We spend a lot of time talking to recruiters. And I said, a business school is nothing if it doesn't reflect the way the world does business. When we talk to the recruiters, what will you see in any organization now? You might see data scientists in that organization, but then they're often then mining and processing all the data and then handing it to the business managers to then try and turn that into business insight. What the recruiters told us was, if you can develop that skill and capability in the same graduate, so that not only can a candidate be very comfortable with large amounts of data and mining that data and manipulating that data and forecasting that data, but that can then also be the translators into business insight, they said then we would hire those students. So what we're trying to do is, what we are planning to do is to give those skills, that develop that skill set in one graduate, rather than and sort of short-circuiting the need to actually have a data scientist and a business manager, and by bringing those together. So that's what we've carefully designed in the curriculum. Is for us, it's the fusion of analytics and management, as I said, to be the translators and to kind of, you know, take the data insights and translate it into business improvement and business insight as well. So that's where we think our uniqueness comes from as well. And you know, a lot of the other programs are focusing primarily on the analytics. We're doing that, but we're putting in a large, a broadening that toolkit so that students can be the translators as well.
What's the rough percentage of, let's say, management versus analytics in the curriculum?
It's a really good question. It's about, on the core course, I mean, we've got quite a rigorous core program and then give the students the opportunity to customize. So we have 17 different core courses. It's probably about 60-40 in favor of analytics. So 60% analytics and then 40% management. And again, what we're doing is making sure that it's highly integrated. It's not just two curriculums put together side by side. What we lead with our analytics courses, give them all the tools, the techniques, obviously train them in all the relevant programming languages, but then in the management courses, they're then applying what they've learned and using those tools and techniques to solve business problems and to master cases as well. Then obviously as students go on to choose electives, they have more of a free choice. They get to take three electives from a suite of about 20-25. So that's when they can really start to customize more. But it's an intensive program.
So 1 year, right?
Yes, 1 year, 12 months. We give students, and it's the same on this program as well as all of our other early career programs, the option, if they want to, is to stay longer for a further term and do a 16-month track. And that's completely their choice. But no, the program is designed for 12 months to then launch students into their careers in business, because as an early careers program, like I said, what we're looking to take is students from either straight from undergrad up to 2 years of work experience. We anticipate thinking about our other early career programs. On average, students have 1 year work experience, but again, we will take people straight from undergrad, but we're up to 2 years. Anyone above 2 years, we'd probably direct more towards our MBA program.
Got it. Got it. Yep. Now, you mentioned that recruiters were asking you to develop this kind of program. What kind of jobs will graduates go into? I mean, what kind of jobs are the recruiters looking for?
Yeah. And this was another thing, again, when we were thinking about this, we did a huge amount of research. We graduate from at London Business School, we graduate 1,200 students across all our programs a year. So, and we have 200 recruiters that come direct onto campus. So we're constantly in a dialogue with our recruiters. With our Masters in Analytics and Management, this is a specialist program, but for a wide variety of sectors and employers. The obvious ones, I mean, what we found is we expect consultants, both the big firms and boutique consulting. Again, they're saying that already their clients are often they're asking, their projects are increasingly becoming about data driven and how to operate in a digital environment. So we know that consulting in the likes of a business analyst, business intelligence analyst, data analyst, but also a lot of the technology firms, about a quarter, between 20 and 25% of all our roles now from our graduating students are in the tech firms. You know, Google and Amazon are now some of our biggest hirers. We've also found that a lot of graduate programs from many other sectors, so strategy interns, leadership program training developments, really? Operations strategy analysis. We've had a lot of interest from accountancy firms, fintech firms, startups, as well as, you know, all the other kind of right through to retail, luxury in the energy sectors. This was the universal feedback that we got, was that actually how data analytics is transforming the world, but it's also sector neutral. It isn't just unique to one particular sector. So we're excited about a wide variety of employers that are going to be seeking and have told us that they'll be keen to hire from this program when we graduate our first class in June, July 2020.
My husband is retired now, but for many years was an actuary. I fell on the side of actuaries, yeah. Which in essence is data science, right? That's he was a pricing actuary for many years. Mm-hmm. And he many times said that there were a lot of actuaries, again, data science of you know, 20 years ago or whatever, mm-hmm. that they could see the trees. They were technically extremely competent, mm-hmm. but they couldn't see the forest. Yes. So, and the actuary that had a broader perspective was just very, very much prized.
Yeah. 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 And that's, again, coming back to what we were talking about earlier, that's what we're wanting to do, is to fuse those two things. And this was something that, you know, the feedback from recruiters, they were saying, you know, if you can create graduates with that kind of toolkit, with that skill and knowledge to talk to both sides of the brain almost. We will hire them, and that's where we're really excited about the curriculum and the program.
To see the forest and the trees.
Yes.
The big picture and the details. That's
absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, look at the data and then be able to get insight from the data that will drive business decisions.
Exactly. Like, you know. Yeah. Because I think a lot of people sometimes, because everyone's as we've increasingly become in a data driven world, you know, you can also then get that so-called analysis paralysis, you know, where you're looking at so much data and the rise of big data, you know, you almost have that so what moment, just going, well, what does it tell us? Mm-hmm. But then also, what do you do with it? And I think that's the area we want to, that we've really worked hard to get the space that we want to get into. And we're really excited.
Okay, great. What are you looking for in the admissions process in terms of the applicants coming in?
Yeah, well, again, I mean, there's a lot of similarities with for this admissions process for all of our early career programs, but actually, to be honest, all of our programs. So, of course, obviously, our application is quite detailed. I mean, in terms of what we're looking for, you know, first and foremost, we're looking for dynamic and ambitious individuals, you know, those that are committed to, who want to work hard and are committed to making a difference or an impact on the way the world does business. Obviously, intellectually curious and passionate as well. You know, particularly in this program, there's a very high technical quant element to this, which is why coming back to, obviously everyone has to have an undergraduate, but we are looking for a quant-based undergraduate background on that. Because it's going to be highly technical on the program. We're also looking, as I said, you know, the work experience, we're open to the types of work experience. If somebody has a quant degree, they don't have to have been coming from, say, an analytics background in their work experience. Again, we're looking at London Business School. Global is in our DNA. So we're looking for that global mindset. As well, we typically have 100 different nationalities here at the school. Coming to our other early career programs, we have 40 different nationalities. We only have 5 or 10% Brits, so we really do want to have a class that comes from around the world, because when you look at where our graduates go, yes, London, working in London and Europe is a popular choice, but our students go and work all around the world too. So that global mindset. Coming back to the thing as an early career student, we you know, obviously we're looking a lot at potential as well. We accept that age 21, 22, 23 even, candidates haven't done everything, you know, so we're also looking at the, you know, how have they performed academically in their undergraduate. So we look at the transcripts, we look at the type of the degree. We have a series of essays where we try and then understand deeper students' motivation.
What about GMAT or GRE?
Yes, we require it for the GMAT. Like I said, we're usually looking at a minimum score above 600. But again, we look holistically at the whole application. So we do require GMAT or GRE. Typically at the moment, about 80, 90% of our students apply with the GMAT, but increasingly the GRE is becoming popular. On the GMAT, we'll be taking a specific look at the quant scores as well. But then obviously, once we've considered someone's application, nobody gets an offer of a place at London Business School without a face-to-face interview as well. And that will be conducted all around the world. I mean, because we're a global school attracting students from all around the world, we will try and interview you in, if not your home city, or a city near to you. And that's conducted either by one of our alumni or one of the staff, the admissions managers from London Business School. Occasionally we will do, if we can't connect in person, we will do things by Skype. And so it's all of that, the completed applications. We're asking for references as well, 2 references, transcripts, undergraduates, 3 essay questions, and an interview. On an assumption that all that goes well, that's then when we make decisions on who to offer places to the program.
How big do you think the initial class size will be, and do you intend to grow it larger?
Yeah, it's a good question. We always, at London Business School, we always make sure that we spend a lot of time thinking about, you know, have we got the right program? But our target is to enroll a class of between 70 and 80 in the first year. We do expect growth opportunities from this. However, we have no plans to grow this beyond that until we have recruited the first class, run the first year, and graduated the first class. Okay. As I said, all of our research. But beyond that, yes, we want to see what the interest is going to be, and we want to run the program. But crucially, we want to graduate a class first before we think about further expansions beyond cohort of 70 to 80.
Got it. Now, what about work experience? You mentioned a maximum, I think, of 2 years of work experience. Mm-hmm. Do you want to see at least one relevant internship in an applicant? What kind of work experience would you anticipate seeing?
Sure. Yeah, I think what we typically get is a blend. As I said, the max is two, but going back to our other early, more established early career programs, our average tends to be 1 year. The vast majority of that, though, is usually made up of one or a series of different internships. Again, you know, it's great if we can have people that have experience of a work environment. But as I said, it's obviously we want to know what they've done and where they work. But as I said, for this program, we don't have to have seen students done internships with an analytics focus to that role. So yeah, we are very flexible on that. And typically what you will get is candidates coming to us who you'll have a few that are in full-time roles, have been working since they graduated, but the vast majority have made up their work experience through a series of internships. And you often get the vast majority of students coming to us, joining the program in, say, the end of August, coming straight off the back of yet another internship. But so we are very flexible and relaxed about how work experience has been achieved. But we are very clear about a maximum of 2 years, because all of our degree programs are arranged via career stage. You know, our pedagogy is based on you will learn as much from the person sat next to you as well as the he or she at the front of the class teaching. Right. From the faculty. And so we want to make sure that the learning experiences, you know, we're mixing students from around the world, different work experiences, but different level, but the same similar levels of work experience. That said, when students go into the electives, our early career students and from this MAM program will get to then, it's a shared portfolio. They'll be then studying their elective courses alongside MBAs, alongside executive MBAs who have 10 years of work experience, and maybe even our Sloan Fellows who have sometimes 15 or 20 years work experience. Again, the transgenerational classroom is very important to us because it's a mirror of what the real world is like. Yeah.
If I recall, also clubs at London Business School are also open to all the programs, correct? So again, in the clubs and the extracurricular activities, there are some that are perhaps reserved for the specific programs, but most of them are for the entire school. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We have our biggest challenge here is that the list of clubs keeps growing. And at some point we have to think about how we can control this. But no, we have 75 different student clubs run by students. The school obviously supports them and things, but ranging from the professional clubs, everything from the finance, the investment management, the technology club. And this is where a lot of our analytics activities led by the students is currently resides. Obviously, though, there's a lot of the regional clubs as well. So with us being a global school, there's everything from, like I said, all different nationalities are represented in the clubs. And then obviously sports and social clubs as well. Our students are very active. The clubs are really important, a critical part of this program and the experience, because again, we only want to spend so much time in the classroom. There's certain things that we think can be delivered best, but in addition to the extracurricular stuff, we've obviously also put in this program a huge emphasis on experiential learning and practical learning.
Can you give an example?
Yeah, sure. So the two key parts of this program. So all students on this program will be taking part in our London Lab program. Now this is where basically they are involved in teams of five or six and doing a live business consulting project with a company based here in London. Again, obviously for our MAM students, they're going to be much more on the data driven side. And so at the moment already we're working with, because our masters, we have a version of this London Lab program for our current Masters in Management program. And again, we've got students working with companies as diverse as Transport for London, the company that runs the entire transport network in London. London through to the British Fashion Council, working with young designers who want to start their own business. But it's going to be much more data-driven projects for London Lab. But also, as well, as I said, coming back to the point earlier about global being important to us, all students from this program will go on. Everyone gets a gift. What we mean by gift, it's an acronym. It stands for Global Immersion Field Trip. And students will get to choose to go on one from six different locations around the world. And what we're doing there is we're taking the students away to a different part of the world for a week and giving them an immersive experience. So we've just had about 70 early career students come back from Colombia in Latin America. Wow. And again, there they were working with local organizations on social impact projects. We have another set going to Silicon Valley in a couple of months. We're taking a group to Tel Aviv. We're taking a group to Cape Town in South Africa. Again, it's so that we can give them the opportunity to apply what they've learned during the year, but actually to put it in a completely different context as well. And so those are going to be two signature practical elements that are requirements for the degree that obviously are included as part of the fee. Obviously, if we're taking students away, this is inclusive within the tuition fee, and we're really excited about those. And we've been running them for a couple of years with our existing early career students, but the opportunity to create some new data-driven experiential elements is really exciting for our Masters in Analytics and Management. Because again, theory and learning in the classroom can only take you so far. We want to make our graduates from the MAM program business ready so they can immediately hit the ground running when they graduate.
That's fascinating. Let's go back to the application for a minute. Mm-hmm. What are the essay, I mean, this is a very quantitative program, right? Mm-hmm. And what are the essay questions, and sure, why do you need essay questions for this particular program?
Sure. No, it's a good point. I think something, I'll link it back a little bit, Linda, to what I was saying earlier, is about that when, because of course, yes, that we have some minimum requirements. We need someone with a quant background, and we might be looking at a minimum.
Programming, perhaps, programming yeah. skills.
Yeah, but I think going back to the questions, this is where we expect on this program, we're going to be getting hundreds of applications who, on paper, many will already meet the minimum requirements. So this is where we're trying to look. We need to get to know more about this, these students, you know, really mm-hmm. about understanding more about their passion and their potential. So the three questions that we ask them, the first one is, first of all, you know, their motivations. How would undertaking the MAM program at London Business School fit with their professional aspirations and goals? So this is mm-hmm. where we're trying to understand, what do they want to do with this degree when they graduate? And because what we want to make sure is, are they employable? And crucially, can we help them? You know, because sometimes, you know, business school is about fit. London Business School, well, business school isn't for everyone, and London Business School isn't for everyone. We always want to make sure that we have our program is right for them, and that they are right for us, and that what they aspire to do, we believe we can help them. So we need to understand, we need to get them to tell us what it is that they want to do once they graduate, if they get admitted once they graduate. The second question is a more a direct personal question, as we ask them what they think that will be their contribution to London Business School whilst they're on the program. Again, we are, because yes, you know, them just coming in and passing the exams and getting a job, great. But we put a huge emphasis on, as we talked about earlier, the extracurricular activities that us as a community, and how are they going to. So we ask them what they think there's going to be their contribution, because we want active learners, not just passive learners, who are going to be incredibly bright, go to class and pass the exams. That's one dimension. Of course, that's important. But, you know, we're a community of over 2,500 students in the heart of London. And we want to make an impact on each other and on the way the world does business. And we want to know what they're going to bring to the table as an active learner, because, you know, a third of the students' grades will be based on what they do as part of a study group. So we want to know, you know, are they going to be an active contributor to the learning experience and help others as well as just help themselves? And then the final question that we have, and this is those two questions are the questions we ask all early careers applicants. The third question, recognizing this is more of a technical program, we've asked them about to talk us through either in the prior work experience or in their academic background, a kind of a data-driven project that they've been involved in. Because here we're trying to understand, you know, we obviously want people who have some competency, but more importantly, some passion about analytics, the power and value of data and what it can do. And so those are the three questions that we ask them, relatively short in terms of, you know, it might be 400 or 500 words. And so, and a big tip for anyone tuning into this podcast is, I think sometimes when it comes to essay questions, all business schools have been removing the essays. Why, you know, people think that they're not that important and that we don't read them. We do. Because when you're dealing with hundreds of applications, as I said, who technically all meet the basic requirements, we need something that's going to tell us a little bit more about the person and to go beyond the application. And these are the things that often inform about who we do interview and who we don't. Yeah.
Okay. Any discussion at London Business School about a joint MIM and MAM?
A really good question. The short answer, no. What we're doing here is, I mean, it's really important here, within our Masters in Management, we already had increased the amount of analytics content in there, and students on the MIM can still take their electives in analytics. So we're satisfied that it's about proportions. What we're doing on the Masters in Analytics and Management, you're having a bigger diet, if you like, or portion of your curriculum in analytics, with a slightly smaller bit on management. We're on the Masters in Management, you have slightly more management, but you can still access analytics. So we think that the two programs can exist alongside each other. And this is one of the things that perhaps, since we've launched this program, this is probably the most frequent question that we're getting. MIM versus MAM. And of course, you know, like I said, is we're not saying that you can't get a job in analytics if you do the MIM. It's about proportions as well. But it is true that there's more analytics, obviously, in the MAM program as well. So we work a lot with candidates early, pre-application, to help them understand the differences, the similarities, and then let them make the decisions. Very occasionally in the admissions process, we may actually decide that a candidate has applied for the MAM may be more suited to the MIM or vice versa. But no, we think that those two things can sit neatly and complement each other as a portfolio. It comes down to the amount of analytics a student wants to, feels that it wants to study or needs to have.
Okay. Now, at the time the show airs, the next deadline will be March 4th, and the last deadline for this application cycle is April 11th. Okay. For Chinese applicants, the last deadline is January 24th and will have passed by the time the show airs. But any advice for those potential MAM students, MAM students, who want to apply this cycle still? In other words, aiming for March 4th or April 11th deadlines.
Sure. Yes. I mean, I think as this is our first admissions year, I mean, we do expect applications to be rolling across all four stages. We've already had hundreds of applications. First and foremost is try and hit. We always say to candidates, try and apply as early as you can. But of course, we'd rather people apply with a completed application rather than rushing their application. As I said earlier, you know, we want to know what the GMAT score is rather than I'm currently studying for the GMAT score or the GRE. We want people to spend time and be thoughtful about those application essays. But we recognize that, the cycle is rolling on. After April the 11th, though, from May the 1st, we will then still consider what we call late applications or rolling admissions. But at that point, an application really has to be super strong. Because at that point, we will have made the vast majority of our offers. And as we talked about earlier, our target is 70 to 80. We don't want to be going above that target. So it's a numbers game.
Right. And you already said that you have several hundred applications, right?
We do. We do. And we're now starting to shortlist for the main rounds of interviews. But we would say, you know, there is still time, even when this podcast airs, there very much is still time. But I think a later application after May the 1st is, like I said, is the chances of being admitted for this, for that cycle, you know, start to reduce. And that at some point it may be that someone has to think about considering entry for the following year.
And what about those considering entry for the following year? What advice would you have for them? They have almost a year to improve their application, to improve their qualifications based on whatever number of applications you've reviewed. What is the one thing you wish applicants would have done more of or would have done, period?
Sure. Yeah. I think it's something that I'm seeing this year, but I think it applies to every other cycle that I've ever worked on, is what I would expect candidates to do is make sure that you do your research on the schools, and the programs, understand the differences. You'd be surprised sometimes about, you know, when we ask the question about, you know, why London Business School and what do you want to do with this program? And people sometimes can give quite generic answers that, you know, almost sound, you know, clearly they're applying to multiple schools and we understand that. But what impresses me is when someone has clearly researched and knows the specific details of the program, the positioning that we're taking, and some of the specific features of our program. As I mentioned, the Global Immersion Field Trips, the London Lab, and what courses that we're planning to teach. So I think I would urge all candidates to be doing your research. We recognize that some people may just go to maybe a rankings publication and say, well, I'm just going to apply to the top five schools on that list. Fine, but I think, as I said, business schools and programs are very much like fit. If you don't get that fit right, this can be a hugely costly personal, professional, and financial cost if you don't get this right. So right. Do your research on the schools. I think, obviously, as well, be looking at the essays and giving your thought, you know, and thinking about those. Too many people, I think, spend a lot of time focusing on obviously preparing for the GMAT or the GRE and think the essays are the easy part as well. And I mean, as I said, the GMAT, the GRE is important, but it's not the be all and end all. That's why we, we have a range between 600 and 800, rather than we just want high GMATs. It isn't just about that. We take a holistic approach. So I'd say take this out. And also remember, you know, we're asking for references. We're asking for other undergraduates, things. And then, you know, continue to be, if you're undertaking internships, embrace them, be successful, be curious, because, you know, the hard part is not getting into London Business School or getting into any business school. That is a hurdle that everyone has to jump. But again, you know, we put a huge amount of emphasis on students learning and studying and sharing their own experiences. So be excited about the work experience that you're getting and thinking about how is this going to apply when I come to study as well. So make the most of it. Enjoy the time. But we'd also say get ready for a rigorous admissions process, but get ready even more for an even more rigorous and rewarding experience should you be admitted at London Business School.
Sounds good to me. Just to go back to your point about the don't rush the essays and don't rush, period, whether you're applying next year or this year. My rule of thumb, people ask me all the time, when should I apply? When should I apply? And it always, I call this very modestly Linda's rule, apply as early as possible, provided you don't compromise the quality of your application.
And I second that rule, Linda. Okay. I think it is because, you know, early is better. Of course, for my admissions team, okay, the earlier the better, because for a number of reasons. One, we get a very early sight about how the class is going to shape up, and that makes us really excited. But obviously, as well, it is a numbers game, particularly if you've got an upper limit of target and of how many students you want to admit. You know, the earlier you apply, it's not necessarily that your chances massively increase, but that as you get to the later stages, we've already, you know, we have to keep an eye on how many offers we've already made. And sometimes we might run a wait list. But I absolutely agree, it's that balance between the earliest you can, but not that it compromises. I absolutely agree with that. So for any candidate listening to thinking about next year is hopefully, you know, when they hear this, they've still got that time. And, you know, our first admissions deadline of this cycle was mid-October, and we expect that to be the same for the following cycle. So that's an early sight that, you know.
Do you anticipate that the essay questions will remain the same, or is it too early to say?
Probably yes. I mean, we make some tweaks, but I doubt that they would. And again, if a candidate, we formally make live the application form for the next cycle kind of towards the end of mid-August. But if a candidate has been preparing and submit something with the old essay questions, we're okay with that. But we don't anticipate a dramatic shift on that.
Yeah. And the other comment that you made about the essay sometimes being, I don't know, downgraded in candidates' eyes, especially for quantitative programs, I just want to point out, if you already have a few hundred applications for a brand new program and you still have two rounds to go, you're probably going to get a few hundred more applications. Mm-hmm. And if you're accepting people with a GMAT score between 600 and 800, obviously you're evaluating something in addition to numbers. Yes. And probably at least some of what you're evaluating are the essays.
Yes.
And obviously the interviews. And I realize it's a holistic process, but I don't think it's a terribly smart process based on the numbers you have cited. Mm-hmm. To focus exclusively on the numbers.
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, I think, and this is, like I said, we're, you know, for London Business School, we've been doing obviously admissions for a long time, and so there's certain patterns that can go. But yeah, you know, we're excited about the applications that we've got already, but also recognizing that it's a new program, we're also being cautious, you know, in that we're probably we're taking more time because we want to get, you know, we want to create this diverse class. But no, we're excited, but we know that because we only launched the program in August to the world, that actually we know that probably the behavior of candidates in this cycle for the first year is going to be different. So we're probably not making as many offers in these early stages that we perhaps do on any of our other programs, simply because we know that there's probably going to be a sizable amount of volume coming in the later things, because we only told the world at the end of August, and then our first deadline was 6 weeks later. So we didn't expect huge numbers in our first stage, which was in mid-October. For our January deadline, of course, that's when more of the volume come in, but we do anticipate even more applications coming. So we're being cautious on the number of offers. We're not rejecting loads, but we're kind of running a pending pile and a waiting list, because we want to try and build up this holistic picture on that.
Okay. What question would you like to answer that I haven't asked?
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground, I think. I know, and I really, I think that the two key things that I wanted anyone listening to this podcast was to really understand that what we're doing in our positioning, and I think we've covered this, so that it's analytics and management. Yeah. I really wanted to get across, because I think we put a huge emphasis on experiential learning, and we have the benefits of being in one of the greatest cities in the world, a global business hub, and the fact that we are going to London is our classroom. I wanted to get that across, but that also global, as I said, is just in our DNA. I know every school, every business school talks about global, and they should. I mean, but we're really proud the fact that we have our faculty come from 40 different countries. We have our students' body come from 100 different countries, and that really, though, we take our students on a global, to give them that global mindset, we want to take them on a global immersion field trip as well. So these are just some of the many features. So no, other than me just repeating the same and saying, we're really excited about this program. And for anyone listening, whether it's this year or next year, do take the opportunity to learn more about us. There's many different ways that you can do that. You can go onto our website, www.london.edu/masters in analytics and management. But obviously you can also go onto our website to see where we are in the world. We do 150 events a year globally. So you can meet us in person, meet staff from the school, sometimes meet faculty and meet alumni as well. You're invited. You're all invited. You're very welcome to come and visit us here at London Business School. We run monthly events at the school where you get the opportunity to have a tour of the campus, to meet some of our current students as well. We have admissions blogs. You can get us at mam@london.edu or on an email. We run webinars. There's a whole host of ways that you can learn more, and we really would invite anyone listening to take a good look at this program.
Thank you so much, Gareth. Certainly your enthusiasm for the program has come through loud and clear, and sounds like a fascinating, wonderful program that does balance this kind of mushrooming technical field with management skills, so that the students will have both the trees and the forest when they pursue their careers. So I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Gareth already provided the URL where people can learn more about the Masters in Analytics and Management, and we're going to link to it from the show notes at exhibit.com/297. Listener, I want to thank you so much also for joining us today. Again, you'll find links in the show notes at exhibit.com/297 to both the Masters in Analytics and Management site, as well as to 5 Fatal Flaws to Avoid in Your Grad School Statement of Purpose and related resources and podcasts. Thank you for tuning in to this, our 297th episode. If you found this show helpful, subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or whatever podcatcher you prefer. Don't miss anything. Just subscribe. You can find subscribe links at, you guessed it, exhibit.com/297. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.